tonight, and let's go to the Word of the Lord. I'm going to be preaching from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians, the epistle to Philippi. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Amen. Very beautiful verse. Amen. Thank you again for being here tonight. Good to see everybody. To our friends and our guests, we're glad you're here. Amen. And Kayla, you did a great job. Thank you. Good song. Amen. And appreciate that. And amen. So we're going to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse number 6. It said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I would like to inform you tonight that God wants to finish what he started. God is not a quitter. When God made a commitment to you, he had finishing on his mind. He did not start a work in you to leave you, but he started a work in you to complete it. Amen. Now, that said, he needs a little cooperation on our part. He won't do all the work. Brother Holly used to say, God can tie my shoes, but he won't. He could, he's able, he's capable, but he won't. God will not do for us generally what we can do for ourselves. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. And so our message tonight is simply, let God finish what he started. The Apostle Paul uses some very strong words in this epistle. He starts by saying that he's confident. He's persuaded. His mind is absolutely made up. And he's confident that God is going to finish what he started. The he here is talking about the Lord himself. So when you started on this path of salvation, you got involved with God, and God got involved with you. Amen. Did anybody remember when he did a work in your heart? Hallelujah. I'll never forget. Amen. The Lord worked on me for a long, long time, and he still is, by the way. I don't mean that's a past tense thing by any sense. But I remember as a little boy, the Lord talking to me. Just a little youngster. I remember that. I remember crying in church and didn't know really what was going on, but I felt something. Something was moving. Something was dealing with me. Amen. I remember I was baptized in Jesus' name when I was just 12 years old because the Lord was dealing with me. Amen. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 15 years old. God was really dealing with me. Amen. And it's been that way. I remember when the Lord finally convinced me that I ought to be a preacher. I wanted to be real bad, but I just didn't think I was good enough. Still not, but anyway, that's beside the point. Hallelujah. He's helped us all along the way. He's continued to deal with us and work with us. Amen. I remember when the conviction came so strong, I couldn't push it away. Tears were flowing, and I was so sorry for my sin. Amen. And God was dealing with my heart and came to an altar and repented of my sins. And oh, how wonderful that felt. Oh, that's there's no clean like repentance. Nothing can cleanse you like genuine repentance. Just telling God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I made so many mistakes. Please just forgive me. Amen. I thank you for loving me, Jesus. And I love you, and I want to make up for it. Amen. Praise God. And repentance is such a such a great gift. And repentance is not just for the sinner, but it's a gift to the church. The Bible speaks of God granting us repentance. It's a gift to be granted, not a right. Amen. It's not your right to be able to repent. It's God's grace and God's gift. Amen. And God's mercy that allows us repentance. Amen. But God wants to restore. That's His heartbeat, and that's His desire. So He started a good work in us. Anybody remember when you received the Holy Ghost? How was that for you? Wasn't that tremendous? Hallelujah. Amen. My, what a difference. I mean, it turned my world right side up, because it was already upside down. And I walked out and the sky didn't even look the same. The birds sounded better. The air smelled cleaner. Everything was just glorious. Hallelujah. My, what an experience that was. Amen. And it still is. It hasn't changed. But oh, what a experience. God started something in us. And He started something in you. And you know what? He's going to finish that. He wants to complete it. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Amen. You know what that little voice on the inside is? That's God trying to finish His work. That little voice that cheers you on when you're right and corrects you when you're wrong. That's God finishing His work. Anybody know the voice I'm talking about? Anybody understand that feeling of that peace on the inside that I'm talking about? When He said He would lead you and guide you into all truth, that's what He's talking about. When He said that He would write His word, not in a table of stone like He did in the Old Testament, but He said, I will write it on the fleshly tables of your heart. And He does that, doesn't He? Amen. And we must be sensitive to that and allow Him to speak. One of the things that I think is so dangerous for Christians to do is to excuse behavior that God condemns. It disturbs me when I hear people say, well, that's just the way I am. That's a very poor excuse for a Christian to use. God saved you as you were, but He didn't intend for you to stay that way. If God saved you and you had a bad temper, He wanted to give you a good temper. If God saved you when you were a sour puss, He wants to make you sweet. Is that all right? It's the truth anyhow. Amen. If you were a gossip when God saved you, He wants you to quit gossiping. Don't just say that's the way I am. No, 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 no. That may have been the way you were. But He put a good work in you. He started a good work in you. Amen. I've heard a lot of standards preached in my lifetime. And I grew up in an area when we went to fellowship meetings, it seemed like it was a competition to see who could preach against the most stuff. I mean, I have heard it all. And it got a little confusing sometimes, honestly. For a young person honestly trying to live for God, it got confusing, because I couldn't understand some things, and so it got confusing. But this is the only standard that you'll need tonight. Are you ready for this? You if you can reach this standard, don't worry about anybody else's. This is actually Jesus' teaching, and this is the standard that He gave us to live up to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, when you reach that goal, then you can judge others. And when you get there, you'll not want to judge others. Amen. Your entire spirit will have been changed. Amen. And you'll not be the same person that you were. Amen. It bothers me to be around people that get judgmental and like to talk about others and when they're not as good as they think they ought to be. Amen. The Bible said, what did it say about weak folks and folks that fall? It said, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Amen. In the spirit of meekness, not weakness. In the spirit of weakness, considering yourself, because you could also fall. Amen. Anybody got clay feet here tonight? You still have feet that are made out of flesh? Sure you do. Amen. So our goal then, and that is our goal, is just to be like Jesus Christ. Perfect. The word perfect here means mature. It's a progressive thing. So a child that starts uttering phrases, and I know we've got a lot of geniuses around here. All these grandparents think we got geniuses. Mom and daddies think we got geniuses. And I do have a genius. So there's no doubt about that. But each child, you know, when we see them growing up, they start talking earlier than anybody's ever talked. They start walking earlier than anybody's ever walked. My, that little genius, oh my, isn't this marvelous? And they da-da and mama. And that great. Oh, they're tremendous. They're fantastic. Amen. Brilliant, just like daddy, just like mama. Oh, that's just wonderful. And that's the way it ought to be. And they grow, and you just watch the progress. They're 4 years old, and you're wondering if they'll start writing an encyclopedia any day now. They just start writing down their vast knowledge. And you know that. But you watch their growth. And they're, honestly, when you really, you know, to an outsider, they might see a little differently than you do. They might notice that their sentence structure is not quite correct. Instead of saying, I am hungry, they say, I'm hungry. And that's great. But, you know, a little later on, they're still saying, I'm hungry. Then something's not quite right. And when that development is arrested in time, and they're still speaking like they did when they were 4 or 5. And now they're 10. You see, something happened that's seriously wrong. And in our spiritual development, folks, it's the same. If you're still acting spiritually when you're 15 years old, you've been around at the church 10, 15 years, and you're still acting like when you first got the Holy Ghost and you know, you haven't progressed any. That's a travesty. Amen. We're all supposed to be growing spiritually. We're supposed to be progressing. We're supposed to be maturing. Now, I understand that process is very slow. And probably you're a lot better than you think you are. You probably made more progress than you think you have. Education is a slow process. It doesn't happen quickly. But it's amazing how accumulative it is, and you watch a child when they start at the very beginning of a year, and they don't know words, and they're learning shapes and letters and sounds, and but at the end of the year, it's amazing how well they've done. Anybody ever gone through the painful process of listening to a child learn to play a wind instrument? Ooh, they squeak and they squawk, and it's awful. It's horrible. Amen. But by the end of the year, they're making solid sounds, and they're playing notes, and they're putting harmonies together, and you're thinking, now that sounds pretty good. So it's a process, isn't it? Amen. And in order for them to really learn, we have to put up with those things. And I'm saying that to say God puts up with a lot from us. And we have to put up with a lot from one another. Amen. Yes, we do. Amen. But we're in the process because God wants to finish what He started. Amen. Paul wrote to us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He said, having therefore these promises, God made some wonderful promises to the church, didn't he? He said, let us cleanse ourselves. Notice that word, ourselves. Isn't that interesting? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Those two are very important that we notice both of those. Sometimes we lay aside the things of the flesh. We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with those that do, and we get a kind of a superior feeling. But I don't do that anymore. I don't go there anymore. But we can still have a filthy spirit. We can have a critical spirit. We can have a judgmental spirit. We can have a proud and a haughty and an arrogant spirit. So you see, we have to lay aside what God considers filthiness. As a matter of fact, do you remember this verse? I believe from Isaiah. The Bible said that our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags in the sight of God. He doesn't care for your righteousness. So we have to lay aside our filthy spirit, judgmental, ugly spirit, proud, haughty spirit that's just as vile to God as the sins we used to commit in the flesh. So there's things that we the Bible says that we cleanse ourselves. We lay these things aside. And I love this word. The Bible says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. It's not something that's a one-time deal and I'm holy. No, I keep working at it. And I get better at it. As I go along the journey, I improve. And the things that I stumbled over early on, hopefully I don't stumble over those things anymore. And I don't stumble nearly as often as I did in the beginning. Like a child that's learning to walk. And you know, after a while you get your equilibrium, and falls and spills are not very common anymore. But you know what? When you get this far along the journey and you fall, it really hurts. You know, I see a little kid fall, and they get up and brush it off and maybe shed a tear or two, and boy, they're gone again. But some of us by now, oof, man. I fell last year at my daughter's graduation, fell down some stairs. And somebody said, are you hurt? I said, my pride. But honestly, it wasn't just my pride. I was hurt some other places too, but I wasn't going to let anybody know. So the first thing you want to do is to look around and see who saw you. Because we're not used to falling anymore. It was pretty common in the past, but now we pretty well got it down. We know. And spiritually, as you mature and grow, then your failures seem to be much harder. So we grow in God. We progress in God. We are perfecting holiness. I notice this word, in the fear of God, in the reverence of God. Because I respect God. Not because the church manual says it. Not because the preacher tells me. But because I respect God. Because I love Him. And I honor Him, and I want to please Him. When that becomes your motive, it's not nearly so difficult. People struggle with things sometimes because they're trying to do it to please a church or a person. Amen. But when you make up your mind, no, this is not about that. This is about loving Jesus Christ. And if this is what the Lord asks of me, then I'll do it. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to really understand, but I can just do it because I know it pleases Him. Amen. And so we're perfecting holiness in the fear of God, in the awe of God, in the reverence of God. Amen. Then the scripture said, and I've always, this is pretty graphic language here, the way he does this. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, that's not, ladies, saying that you can get rid of your old man. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what that's saying. No, that's not what that's saying. Amen. But it's talking about the old person, the unconverted individual that we were. Amen. And it talks about him here. It said, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So Paul says you put that off. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully here tonight. Especially if you're kind of new in the Lord, I want to give you permission. You put things off. You get rid of it. It's okay to do that. Now, people do not expect you to do that. They kind of expect you to be the same. I hear this all the time. People say, I just don't believe people can change like that. Yes, they can. You can literally put off the old man. As a matter of fact, to be a successful Christian, you must. You'll not make it very long in your spiritual journey if you don't put off the old man. That's how we become hypocritical. As we maintain the old man, the person we were, and try to act like we're Christians. We put off the old man. That's what Paul said. You put him off. Amen. Now here, he gives us some hope here. And he says, and that you put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he gives us some things and some good examples. He said, wherefore, put away lying. If you were a liar, quit lying. Speak the truth, every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, in our world today, I've read some studies that lying's just become very common. Some people think that you should lie because you don't want to hurt anybody, so it's better just tell a lie. No, wrong. Because when people find out, it really hurts that you've deceived them. Amen. So I don't think we ought to lie. I don't think we ought to purposely hurt people. I think when we have to say something hurtful, we need to weigh our words very carefully and be very wise and tactful and not purposely hurt anybody. But I do think we need to tell the truth, even when it hurts. Amen. Is that all right? Yeah, that's all right. He just said, put away lying. Take it off. Get rid of it. And then he said, and be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There will be times that you'll get angry. And some anger is good. As a matter of fact, if you can see wrongdoing and it not stir you, then something is wrong. When you can see people being abused and hurt and misused, and it doesn't move you, then something's wrong. When Jesus went into the temple and he saw his father's house, that he said is a house of prayer, and they made it a den of thieves, he got angry. And he got some cords, and he drove them out, and he turned over the tables of the money changers. Yes, he did. He got angry. Amen. And we should be angry at the right things. Now, why does it say be angry and sin not? Have you ever heard anybody say it's just as bad to think as it is to say it? That's not true. There are some things it'll save you from, you know, getting a black eye or a bloody nose if you don't say something. That's right. Some things you just don't say. You think, but you don't say. As a matter of fact, it's wise to learn that lesson. Just because you don't approve of somebody's appearance, it's not always necessary for you to comment on it. Why would you want to say something just to hurt somebody? Is it doing them a favor? Not that I understand. Amen. When we were in Colombia, they used to tell us that, to tell somebody they're fat, they said, well, we don't mean anything by that. Well, then why say it if you don't mean anything? It may not mean anything to you, but it means a lot to the person you're talking about. Hello? Amen. Sometimes they would, and I taught on this while I was there, because I thought it was wrong. Sometimes they would call their children, one of them they'd call the ugly one. That was the nickname, the ugly one. Well, we don't mean anything by that. Well, that child feels it every time you say it. And they would use nicknames, you know, the fat one. Well, you know, we don't mean anything by that. We don't mean anything by that. I'm just talking about being kind, folks, and changing things. Well, that's the way we've always done it. Then let's change it. Well, that's the way I've always been. Then let's change. Why keep doing things that you know are hurtful? Does that make any sense to anybody? It just, people amaze me sometimes. I've been around people a long time, but they still amaze me sometimes. Why they just want to keep doing things that are wrong and not change. I mean, it amazes me that people can come to church and hear teaching and preaching and go home unchanged and still doing the same things they did before. And say, brother, that sure was good preaching. My, that was good tonight. You really laid it on. You really stepped on some toes around here. And then not change. I don't know, maybe they're the folks like the guy that always went to church with a pitchfork. You know, he's always feeding everybody else. And brother so-and-so needs that. Sister so-and-so needs that. And he never got anything for himself. Amen. I want to go to church like a sponge, a dry one. Soak it up. Because I want to be a genuine Christian. Amen. So he said, if you steal, don't steal anymore. Instead, he says, labor. Be angry and sin not. Now, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And this next verse ties to that one. Neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't hold grudges. You know what happens when you hold a grudge? It turns to bitterness. And once bitterness gets in the heart, it's really hard to get it out. It's really hard to get bitterness out of your heart. And Paul warned about that, and the writer of the Hebrews warned about that. He said, lest a root of bitterness springing up, many be defiled thereby. You get around bitter people, and they don't know bitter that they want to make other people bitter. And it taints their whole life. I read a story about a young boy that came in, and he told his mom, he said, he wanted to go to a movie with his friend, and his mom said, well, we don't go there. And he said, well, Mom, he said it's a PG movie. He said it just has a little bit of bad language is all it's got. Mom was making supper, and she reached down the trash can, got some trash, and threw it in the salad, started mixing it up. And he said, what in the world are you doing? She said, well, it's just a little bit. It won't matter. Just a little bit. It won't matter. It's a little trash. little bit won't make any difference. It made a difference to him, didn't it? You reckon it makes a little difference to the Lord? He's wanting us to be pure, folks. And he's serious about it. And that's what bitterness is. Once you get a little bitterness, it taints the whole system. And so you got to guard against it. He said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Get it, whatever it takes, get it straightened out so that you don't get bitter. Make sure that you have forgiveness so that you don't get bitterness in your heart. And let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Thieves, go to work. That's a logical conclusion there, isn't it? Amen. He's giving solutions, not just stating problems here. He's telling you what to do about it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I've noticed that we get a little lax sometimes. And there are people who use some words that, quite frankly, are offensive, that Christians really shouldn't use. Now, let me just say this tonight. You don't get there quickly and easily. At least if the Holy Ghost works on you the same way it did on me. When I was young and I first got the Holy Ghost and I said something a little wrong, I felt bad about it. So I just quit using those words. Now you can press on right over the Holy Ghost and keep using words that in the beginning they would kind of convict you and you'd feel bad about it. But you can say them long enough that you don't feel bad anymore. But as Christians, we need to put away corrupt communication. Just don't say those things. Amen. Well, you know, that's where I came from. Yeah, that's where you came from, and that's where you're trying to get away from. You're not there anymore. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, we're trying to leave some things behind, not bring them with us. Amen. This idea that, you know, that Christians are just like the world except they're saved, I don't understand that. No, he saved you out of something. Amen. He wants you to be different. He wants you to be a light in this dark world. Amen. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. He came out, he wants you to come out. He was separate, he wants you to be separate. Amen. Praise God. And so, corrupt communication, he said, let it not proceed out of your mouth. Here it is, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's what you got to watch. You see, the Bible said, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Ghost will lead you, and you follow him. And when he talks, you don't grieve him. When he speaks to you, you respect it and say, yes, Lord. Yeah, I may not understand it, but I won't do it if it displeases you. I won't say that if it displeases you. Because I want to maintain my fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't want to displease the Lord. Amen. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's that Spirit of God that's going to keep you till the end. That's the keeping power of the Holy Ghost. But if we don't follow him and listen to him, obviously he cannot keep us. Though he's trying to do so. All right. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Why did he put that in there twice? Interesting, huh? You know what gives us more trouble than anything? This little red devil behind these pearly white gates. He's going to give you more trouble than anything. As a matter of fact, James said, if a man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Amen. That's what's going to give you more trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You got this same stuff I live in right here. You may have as much of it, but you got plenty. Amen. It don't take a whole lot. Amen. 200 and none of your business pounds. Enough of it. Just if you got 100 pounds of it or 50 pounds of it, it's enough. Don't take a whole lot. Amen. And so put away these things. I like this. He said, and be kind. Everybody say, be kind. One to another. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do? I noticed that the world's so different than the church, and in the world, put downs are a big thing. Put people down. Does that really belong in the church, you think? Not really. He said, that doesn't fit in with the spirit of kindness, does it? To say something that's hurtful doesn't fit in with the spirit of kindness. I hope this is all right. This is just plain old, beans and cornbread teaching here. Amen. It's not fancy, but it's good for you. It's good for what ails you. Be you kind one to another, tender-hearted. Amen. Tender-hearted. And not thin-skinned. There's a difference. As a Christian, you need to hide like a rhinoceros. Tough. But you need a tender heart. So that you're not easily offended. You don't let little things get you down. Amen. You know, people will say things they don't mean to say. And you can't let that bother you too much. You just go right on. Amen. But you ought to have a tender heart. God, help us to have a tender heart. I don't ever want my heart to get hard. Ever. Amen. I want to be moved with the things that move God. The Bible, how many times did it say in the ministry of Jesus, and he was moved with compassion? And he was moved with compassion. Amen. That's what I want. I want to be tenderhearted. And here it is, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Anybody been forgiven here tonight? A little or a lot? Amen. Rather regularly? Amen. And that if he forgives us that way, that's the way we forgive others. Amen. When you live in a spirit of forgiveness, there's great liberty in that. There's great freedom when you can just forgive. Amen. A grudge is really just not a very smart thing. It's really kind of not very smart. Have you ever, you have an argument, and you're sitting over here as close to this door of the car as you can get, and your wife's sitting over on that side just as far as she can get. And you get out and you go in the house, and it's inside it's 75 degrees, but it feels like it's 50 below. Amen. And it's bedtime, and you're on this side of the bed, about to fall on the floor. She's on that side, about to fall on the floor. And neither one of you is sleeping. In your head, you're saying, and I should have said, and I'm going to say, all night long. And then you get up in the morning, and you were just as grouchy or more than when you went to bed the last night. And the pressure just builds. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I can tell by your smile. It's giving you away. Oh, we're all humans. We've been down these same roads. Maybe those that are frowning is the ones that were in me. Amen. Amen. That's what a grudge does. It's awful. It's horrible. Amen. And it just disturbs your peace. Amen. And so he said, forgive one another, even as Christ for you. Christ, or God for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Amen. I'm just saying that he started a good work in you. Amen. Let him finish that. Don't be afraid to leave the past behind. I know some people have a hard time with that. They think, well, you know, that's the way my, you know, so-and-so was, and they were like that, and I'll always, and everybody tells me I'll always be like that. No. You just leave all that behind. It's just like the old man. You just take it off like a coat, and you leave it behind. And you put on Christ. Amen. And you say, that's not me anymore. Amen. My daddy might have been like that. My grandpa and my great-grandpa might have been like that, but not me. I'm going to break the mold here. I'm going to put off the old man, put on the new man, and he that hath begun a good work in me, amen, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. When he comes back, he's going to find me waiting because I put off all that stuff. Let God finish what he started. Let God finish what he started. Amen. I have been told that the way that a refiner knows that gold is pure is when he can see his reflection in it. He sees himself without imperfections. He gets the gold heated and the imperfections come to the top and he scrapes those away. And then he turns up the fire, gets a little hotter, and the gold boils and some more impurities come to the top, and he scrapes those aside. And when he can look into that pot, that hot, boiling cauldron of gold, and he looks and he sees his reflection without imperfections, he said, now I know it's pure. And Jesus is looking for his reflection in us. And he's going to turn up the fire. I said he's going to turn up the fire. You're going to have trials. You're going to have troubles, because those impurities are going to come to the top, and if you put them behind you, he's going to just remove those and say, "All right, we got that taken care of. Now we're on level two." And so he turns it up a little bit. More impurities come to the top. Gets rid of that. Say, we're making progress here, and he just keeps turning up the fire, keeps turning up the heat. And you become more pure and more pure until he sees himself in you. And he says, now we're getting somewhere. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and for your attention here tonight. Amen. For this teaching. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. How about you? Amen. I know I got a long way to go, but you just don't know how far I've already come. Amen. You don't know how far I've already come. If you just knew where he brought me from. Amen. If you just knew where I started. Amen. If you just knew what I was before he found me, then you'd really understand it here tonight. Amen. We've come a long way to. Anybody identify with what I'm saying here? As the Lord brought you a long ways, it's not wise to always look at how far you've got to go. Every now and then, you just need to see how far you've come. Understand the progress that you've made. Oh, there's been a lot of changes. I'm not the man I want to be, but thank God I'm not the man I was. He sure has made some wonderful changes in my life. I need to make some more changes, and I'm working on it. You can believe he's working on me. Amen. But I'm so thankful that I've made it this far. Praise God. Amen. I think tonight, just to respond to the word of the Lord would be good. Just to come and lift my hands to him and gather at this altar for a moment, just to tell the Lord I sure am thankful for the distance we've covered. Thank you for not giving up on me.
It's my desire.
Thank you for not turning aside. Thank you for not giving up, God.
To live.
I know that I've made some mistakes, and I know that I'm still making some mistakes.
If you
and I'm still dealing with some things. I'm still trying to change
Jesus
some things.
Me from
but God, thank you because you haven't given up. You've been merciful. You've been patient. You've been kind.
Then you would know.
I thought today
the reason why.
Jesus, I want to be just like you.
So
I want to be kind to other people. I want to be merciful to my brother and
you
my sister.
Can take
I don't want to be judgmental. And I don't want to be cutting and harsh and unkind.
And riches.
But I want to be tenderhearted.
I don't need
kind.
Space.
And I want to be forgiving.
It's my desire.
Just exactly like you have been with me.
To live for
amen.
Him.
I want to be better, Jesus. Thank you tonight.
If you
forgive me for all of my failures.
Where
forgive
Jesus
me, God, for the areas that I fall
me
short.
From to where
forgive me, God,
I
for my sins.
Today. Then you would know.
I do want to be
the
better. I want to actually. My goal
I
is to be like you.
So
I want to be perfect. I want to be perfect.
Now you can take this world's wealth.
I know I'm not there yet,
riches.
But I'm on my way.
I don't
and I'm still trying.
Fame. It's my desire.
Every time I fail, let me get right back up.
To live
and go on. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love him so. This world, its wealth and riches, I don't need a shame. It's my desire.